Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
You ready? Let's go.
Live from Benchwarmers Sports Bar in Ankeny, this is the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive.
I won't deny you, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna...
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Now, here are your hosts, Chris Williams and Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com.
Hey, Bloom is off basking in the Dominican sun tonight, and but we've got an upgrade. Don't tell Brent Bloom, but we have an absolute upgrade, a treat of a radio show for you tonight here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny, home of the famed Cyclone Fanatic Game Watch. You come here to Benchwarmers in Ankeny, and you're gonna have a good time. I can guarantee you that when the Cyclones are on the road. My name's Chris Williams, joined by Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. What's up, Trav?
Not a lot. You know, I'd say Bloom has tough shoes to fill, not big shoes, because Bloom is a tiny man. His shoes are physically hard to get into, but we'll do our best.
Infant
here.
Size.
Exactly.
And then we have the Encyclopedia himself, and you don't like it when I call you that, Kirk, but Kirk Holland here has created a brand, the Encyclopedia
brand. A far-reaching brand.
But you need to be proud of it. You need to wear it on your sleeve with pride, Kirk.
I should get some polos or something.
You should. We should absolutely should. You're doing good work, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Maybe a headband. I think it's just a headband.
It would totally fit. Yeah.
Yeah. Bro tank, maybe.
The Ames bro tank from the Campus Town guys. Did you ever see that?
I've seen it publicized
on our website.
Yes.
That's like the coolest piece of clothing I think I own. I wore it to the farmer's market one time and got laughed out of court off of Court Avenue.
Has it seen Clorinda yet? The bro tank.
Oh yeah.
How did it go over there?
It's all right. Yeah.
They wanted one that said
that's
Clorinda.
That's what's great
on it.
About Southwest Iowa, gentlemen. Nobody judges you like they do up here in the city.
That runs rampant up here in the big city of Ankeny.
Everybody, welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Again, of course, we're live at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. We have Cornell Mann, Iowa State assistant basketball coach, going to join us here in about 5 minutes on the Hy-Vee hotline. Lots to get to. Iowa State loses to Baylor in, I don't know if I'd call it heartbreaking, but it was a kind of made you sick type fashion the way that went down last night. We'll talk about that. College game day, a.k.a. the circus, is in town. Saw the truck and all that good stuff was up there earlier today before Iowa State's practice. Players have shut down Twitter. Talk about that momentarily. But, yeah, a lot to get to. Travis, you were in Waco last night. How many hours of sleep did you get, man?
I topped off at about 2, I believe.
You got 2 hours of sleep,
yeah,
for real?
Yeah, got to the airport around 4:35. Randy Peterson from the Des Moines Register beat me by a few minutes, as he's wont to do. And, yeah, been going strong since about 4 a.m. today.
You guys had the same flight and everything?
Yeah, we did. We got into Des Moines at 11:30 and then raced up to Ames to Hilton to get some Kansas and game day interviews done with Fred and the gang up there.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat deal. And Kirk, you can speak from a fan's perspective, but it's a once in a lifetime type deal for everybody involved. For us, Travis, covering the team, you don't know when this is going to happen again. And for you, Kirk, you've been a Cyclone fan your entire life.
Right.
I'm sure you've never seen anything like this, but I was up there, of course, Travis, trying to stir up the, how do you guys look past the circus and focus on the game? But then my guy John Walters jumps in, but this is a big deal. And it kind of gave me some fresh perspective, because when you look around, you see the ESPN producers up there and they're putting together where they're going to put the game, college game day set. You know, where Jay Billis is going to sit. It's a big deal for everybody.
Yeah, I walked in at 1:30 today, and there's like 7 or 8 security guards walking around Hilton, and usually that place has nothing going on before practice gets going. Kind of just shows you the scale of what's going to be happening on Saturday. There's already kids with tents outside Hilton.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show where the Iowa State men's basketball program is right now, that this is a thing that not only do they have, but I think you – could easily argue and would argue that they deserve to have, especially with Kansas being the opponent.
Well, and it's going to be just an insane atmosphere on Saturday. Kirk is a diehard. You and Bloom, I think, are the biggest diehard fans, and maybe Chris Andringa and Mike Green up at Iowa State. I would put you all in like one tier together. But like, what? How excited are you for this whole event on Saturday?
Well, I'm not going to the stuff during the day because I'm old with the family and stuff, but.
You're not going to be there at 7 a.m.
My wife actually wanted to go. I was like, not a chance. But I mean, it's just kind of, like Travis said, just kind of a statement with where the program is at. And it's almost mind-boggling if you kind of look back just 5 years ago when Fred was announced. And it's just, I can't even really put into words just the jump that we've gone through and how everything has come together like it has. And it's kind of just crazy that the biggest show in town is in Ames. And, yeah, it's going to be absolutely bonkers. I'm expecting it to be kind of a madhouse all day.
Absolutely. Hey, there's a helpful smile in every aisle. You're going to go Hy-Vee, where they proudly support the Iowa State Cyclones and proudly bring Cornell Mann onto the Hy-Vee hotline. Cornell, here's my tip for ESPN. If Jay Billis is listening from the airport, and I'm sure he is, on his way up to Ames, they got to get Cornell Mann on game day to sing your rap song, man. You got to get on game day, and we can raise some money. What do you think about that?
You know, that would that would be absolutely awesome. I doubt if it happened, but it would be absolutely awesome. And
would you do it?
I'd be a nervous wreck anyway.
Would you do it, though? If Jay Billis said, hey, Corn, we need you to come on and rap for us, would you do it?
You know, I don't know, because here's something that's funny. The songs that I do, I write them and I rap them all within an hour, and so I don't really know my own songs.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Well, you could do like Eminem, 8 Mile, Impromptu. We could do a rap battle.
Oh, I could definitely do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, hey, Coach. Thanks for joining us, man. We were just having the conversation before you came on the air. We'll get to the Baylor game and the X's and O's of Kansas here momentarily on the Hy-Vee Hotline. But I think that it was, we're just kind of tossing around what it means to have College game day come to campus on Saturday. Travis and I noticed before practice today just, you know, how large of a production that whole deal is. You've got, you know, you got trucks everywhere and you got producers and the talent's all coming in and they're having a media session tomorrow. Just a really big deal from your perspective as an assistant coach of the Cyclones. What's this whole deal mean to you?
Well, here's the deal. It's such a big deal in terms of the production that it's similar to an NCAA tournament game or a game day at an NCAA tournament site. And so it's lots that go into it. It's a lot of things that I have no idea about behind the scenes. You know, obviously they'll get to talk to Fred during the TV part of things you know, that's always awesome. You know, coach is always excited to talk about his team and Iowa State in particular. But what it means to me is, you know, I get to be a part of something that's super-duper special, and I get to watch our players, like, living. You know, as a player, the teams I played for were not very good. And as a coach, the most gratifying thing to do is to watch these guys fill itself out in this atmosphere, in this environment. And, you know, that's why it's so special when years later you have a team from your past that done really well come back and they bring their kids and that's the type of stuff that I think about, how, you know, how some of our guys now have kids and they'll bring their kids back later in life and they'll live the moment and then their kids will get to hear about the moment. And so that's the type of stuff. I mean, it's real life stuff and it's awesome things. Obviously we will be prepared to play the game and to compete in the game and win the game. And so that part of things will be what it is. But the other side of that is as a program, coach has been really good at this, is making sure that our guys understand the separation between this is a huge game for us, and we will do everything that we would normally do, nothing any different, and we have to do it that way, or else you could get caught up because the production is, so the players could get caught up, and I guess coaches could too, but, Coach Weyberg, of course, wouldn't allow that to happen.
Hey, Corn, Travis Hines here. I just wanted to know, you know, how much have you guys been pounding the phones and the text messages and the Twitter with recruits regarding game day? And what's kind of been the reaction from those guys, you know, about a school that is pursuing them getting this kind of, showpiece against Kansas this weekend on ESPN and game day?
Well, here's something that's awesome. I mean, you can throw that stuff out, you can text it out, and you can put it out. If a player is interested, obviously we recruit a number of players. So if a player is interested, to be honest with you, they already got that information because they're actually seeking out that information. Now, are we involved right now that everyone in the country got a great feel for us? I don't think so, but we're getting there. And so then sometimes that is information for a few guys, but, you know, with the way you guys do things, I don't mean to laugh at that, but the way you guys do things, you know, we don't have to send anything out because you guys are out there and they see it and they hear about it. We tweet about it. Like, I could tweet it or retweet things that you guys do, and now everybody got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the reaction is big time. The reaction is big time. The program is at a level. I caught the tail end of that. I mean, literally 25, 30 seconds of what you guys were talking about. And the program is at a different level, which is awesome. And, you know, we owe it to the fans as much as we owe it to anybody. And Coach Hoiberg is very adamant about that. He's very adamant about the way, you know, fans' perspective, the way things are looked at. And right now, there's no question Iowa State is in terms of since Coach has been here, is as on the map as any other school at any other time, you know.
Yeah. Cornell Mann, Iowa State assistant coach, joins us on the Hy-Vee hotline. Coach, last night, tough loss at Baylor. You guys got down early, obviously fought back. I thought the key stat really was the 19 offensive rebounds for the Baylor Bears. I know they're a weird team, just the way that they do a lot of things, so I don't know, you know, how hung up we should get on that stat. But, you know, when you went back and watched the tape today, what did you see? How can you guys improve in that area? As you're going to see a big, you know, physical, well-coached team on Saturday night against Kansas.
Well, I mean, individually and collectively, you have to have an attitude about it. And rebounding is something you can be really good at if you have the right attitude about it. And for the most part, I mean, we haven't lost a game this year where every game we've out-rebounded our opponent, we've won. And, you know, obviously our guys are competitive, and they got an attitude about it. And we just, you know, we have to be a little more fundamental with our guys because the teams we're playing are bigger, stronger, more athletic, and not just the ability to have a nose for the ball and go get the ball, but you actually got to make hits. You got to hit the guy that you're checking. You got to see someone sprinting from the corner, from the top of the key to rebound the ball from the opposing team, and you got to hit them illegally. You got to hit them. And what we've been doing is we've been hunting the ball down and really been aggressive at, you know, beating guys to the ball and getting the 50-50 balls and that. But and the long rebounds. But what we have to do is we have to do the wedge rebounding, the rebounding near the rim. Where we force other teams to go over our back, and now they get the call because they're going over our back because fundamentally we put our body into theirs and drove our legs back and moved them out. And really we just got to make a better effort at cutting out. Guys are locked in terms of having the right attitude to rebound. We've done it game in, game out. But as these games continue to become bigger and more important and people see us the way they see us, I mean, they see us as this juggernaut team, that is big-time team that can come in and score the ball and play really well together and do all these things. You're getting everybody's best night in, night out. You know, you're getting even more than it's been maybe ever in the history of Iowa State basketball. So you're getting a good bit of competitive nature from the opposing team. What we have to do is match our energy and effort with a little bit more fundamental cutting out, hitting the guy, literally just hitting the guy. We got to do a better job of that. I've said a lot to just really say we really got to make a hit on, we got to make the first hit on the glass.
Corn, Fred said it last night, and I think I tend to agree with him, that you guys didn't lose the game necessarily on a Kenny Cherry pull-up with 4 seconds last night, but rather you've fallen behind 16-1 early. What's the level of frustration on the bench in that first couple minutes when you guys had obviously spent time installing a game plan and you teaching it to the guys, and it just didn't get executed where, you know, they off the double team to the post, it led to open threes. What's the level of frustration there when you guys install this and, you know, right from the bat it doesn't get executed and you find yourself in a big hole?
Well, you know, I mean, it's frustrating for everyone. I mean, it's frustrating for fans. It's frustrating for coaches. It's frustrating for players. It's frustrating for everyone. But at the same time, this team has been together collectively, together, I think for five games. You know, meaning Jamil into the thing, and now I think it's been about five games or so. And honestly, sometimes you even have groups of guys out there playing at a given point in time who haven't maybe even played in practice but a few times, a different lineup, maybe because due to fouls or whatever. And so, you know, I think the frustration is there from everyone, but it's also fair to expect some of that. You know, it's fair to expect some of it. And just hope it don't, at the end of the day, cause you to lose the game. But you can just go back. If you want to talk about ways to lose the game, we beat ourselves, first of all, not taking any credit away from Baylor. We beat ourselves because we didn't follow everything that we were supposed to follow. And we did have a bad start. And, you know, we did get beat on the glass, and we did have foul trouble. And you take all of those things and put them together, and we did have a chance to win the game with no time on the clock. And so as bad as we played, it's some really, really good things to take from that game. And one of those things is, no matter how far we may dig ourselves a hole, we are never out of the game. You know, and it's good to know that. I'd like to know it more from a win, obviously, than a loss. But it's good to know that, and it's good to see how tough this group can be. Now, let's see if we can get them to be that tough and that locked in and for 40 minutes. And now you're talking about being as good as anybody in the country.
Coach, we appreciate your time. We got to let you go, but best of luck on Saturday. And if you can survive the circus being in town, we hope you to do that and enjoy everything that's going on, all right?
Well, I'll sit back and watch everybody enjoy it, and I'll get ready to help Coach fight these Jayhawks off.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right, have a good night.
Thanks, Coach. Letting Cornell Mann, Iowa State assistant basketball coach, off of the Hy-Vee hotline here tonight on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, broadcasting from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Like having Coach Mann on. Travis, you kind of referenced it in that first question you asked him. We didn't get to see it. Kirk and I didn't, because it seems like it always happens when Iowa State's on the road, that the TV, there's always a problem, or, you know, one game runs late or whatever. But that first, like, 3 minutes was just a total disaster defensively.
Yeah, it was an absolute steamrolling by Baylor. You know, Iowa State was going to double the post. Baylor would kick it out to the wing and then one more pass over to the other side in a reversal, and there's nobody within 10 feet of a guy with his feet set, shot ready. And, you know, the next thing you know, it's 16-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a total collapse of whatever Iowa State had instituted defensively, just did not get executed. You could see, you know, right on the second possession when Baylor hit their second three, Fred stood up on the bench and just, I haven't seen him look that flabbergasted in a while. It just, you could tell that he looked on the floor and didn't recognize what they were trying to do defensively. And to see that on the second possession of the game, I would imagine would be pretty disconcerting, you know, when you've had, you know, 2, 3, 4 practices to implement what you want to do against Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes it even tougher. I mean, when you dig the type of a hole that Iowa State dug last night, and then you're giving up 19 offensive rebounds on the road against a top 25 team. I mean, I thought watching this game, and afterwards, I thought you put out a tweet that was similar to what I was thinking. Considering all of that, the fact that they had a chance to win at the end was surprising to me.
Absolutely. I mean, they made the comeback after falling behind by 17 in the first 6 minutes. They're within 2 with 6 minutes left in the half, and then they go in the half down 12.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they pushed and they pushed the first 10 minutes of the second half, and Baylor kept them at an arm's length until finally they kind of broke through with, I think it was a 10-0 run to get close. And just weren't able to get that stop. They weren't able to get that defensive rebound that mattered. And I found you were there today when Fred discussed it. They're still learning how to rebound defensively with Jameel McKay, who they want to go hunt block shots, but they need that guy from the perimeter to drop down to cover for him. And that's what I think led to that Motley putback that was really kind of a backbreaker for Iowa State with about 20 seconds left.
Yeah, and guy you wrote about earlier this week, Kirk, is Bryce DeJohn Jones. I don't know if he still is after last night, but he was leading Iowa State in rebounding. I know going into last night, I thought one of the major positives from the game was Kirk Naz went 5 for 5 from right. 3-point range. He was, I think, 2 for 17 in games prior leading up to that one. And you wrote about Bryce DeJohn Jones earlier in the week, how maybe he wasn't scoring at the rate where people kind of think he should, but he's still leading the team in rebounding, and defensively he's been pretty good. I thought, and maybe I read too much into this, but after the game, Bryce put out a tweet like about how he loves his teammates and they're going to learn from this or whatever. I think he needed a game to hit a couple of shots like he did last night, some big ones, to kind of get him back into that flow where he's not only playing defense, but he can be that other scoring option that they need him to be. I saw that as a positive for Iowa State last night.
Yeah, I think getting him going and getting the offense going in general in the second half was a big deal. I mean, the offense will always look good. I think they were like they shot an astronomical number in the second half, pretty much what Baylor shot in the first half from three. But the thing about Bryce was he had 14 points. He took good shots. He only had one turnover. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of shows how well he was playing. I think he only had 4 rebounds last night, but he played a good all-around game. I mean, I had someone point out today that he missed the coverage on Medford on that last three. I'd have to watch it. But, I mean, like dudes play. Still make mistakes when they have really good games. Yeah, so I think getting him going is a big deal. I know there's been some talk about it'll have to be maybe him and George scoring in order to do great things, and I think that might be true, but I sort of think that a lot of times there's enough other options that can do it. I think the best scenario is that him and George are the guys scoring, though. So getting him going is a big deal.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me is just the dynamic, kind of how you mentioned, Travis, about how things kind of changed with Jameel McKay in the game. And what's fascinating to me is that, what is this, game 5 for him?
Game 6.
Game 6. And you tweeted last night, and I couldn't agree more, that I think you could make an argument he's the best player on the floor for Iowa State right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been so impactful. And yeah. I wrote about it for tomorrow. I think there's no way that his minutes don't start increasing where he's creeping up over 30 minutes. You look at his per 30-minute numbers, and they're at an all Big 12 level.
Yeah.
You know, if he were to get 30, 32 minutes a night, you're talking about one of the most productive forwards in the Big 12 conference, which is saying something considering – you know, the forwards that are in that league. And as soon as he can get that conditioning and he can get these back spasms under control and Fred can trust him to go for longer stretches, I think you're looking at a pretty formidable player on both sides of the floor.
He should have had 5 blocks last night. A terrible goaltend call.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad call.
In real time, it was awful. I still haven't seen the replay. But looking at it, everyone at press row kind of side-eyed each other, and everyone – from where we were sitting under the basket, it looked like the ball was literally still in the guy's hand when he knocked it out.
Yeah. It was. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, it was almost one of those where it looked like it never went up and never came down. It was just kind of a flat line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think McKay will probably start playing more. One of the interesting things there is how the spacing works out, because it seems like when McKay's been in the game, we haven't seen a lot of Niang on the block. A lot of that's been, I think, predicated because you're not going to iso a guy in the block against that Baylor zone very often. But that dynamic will be interesting with working Niang and McKay in there together and how that spacing will work out. Because if you have Niang on the block, you have to have McKay on the opposite block because putting him on the three-point line doesn't do anybody any good. If he's going to start playing that offensive dynamic between those two, and then are you going to play Hogue or Nader with them? Because one of those guys needs to be making shots. Otherwise, it's going to be really crowded down low, and it'll look like an offense unlike anything we've seen from Hoiberg before.
I think it'll be big if – you know, McKay, to me, still doesn't look very comfortable on that low block. If he can get a little bit more comfortable, that opens up some maybe high-low things with George up top. And with his passing ability, his vision, his creativity, that could be really interesting for them if you can surround them mm-hmm. with three shooters in the two corners and up top. But, you know, they got to get him comfortable, and they got to consistently start making shots from outside. And you touched on it. Naz going 5 for 5 last night is a major step in the right direction after, you know, three pretty poor games from him from mm-hmm. outside.
Well, and George and Jameel can definitely play together. It's mm-hmm. it's just one of those things where you have Jameel on the opposite block instead of four out top. But George will draw double teams, and if you get a double from the opposite block, then all of a sudden they either have to cover McKay with a guard coming down or McKay's open. I mean, that can open up a lot of things as well. And I was actually surprised when McKay, when he against Oklahoma State, one of his first touches, he was extremely patient with the ball. He waited to see if a double team came, was patient, took a dribble in the middle, drop step, and score. I mean, that was far more polished than anything I ever would have expected from him. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him get more touches in that situation as long as he can make smart decisions.
I'll tell you what, he's exceeded my expectations, and I wasn't really exactly sure what he was going to bring. But the five blocks, I mean, two games in a row, I'll give him block in this last one. I thought he'd be a couple blocks a game, but he's doing it against big dudes, and he's, you know, that to me has been the most impactful thing we've seen from him is, you know, the whole thing Fred Hoiberg talked about in the offseason, yeah, the rim protector thing.
Absolutely, and if they can start turning those block shots into transition opportunities,
yeah,
now you're opening a whole new world of possibility for them. You know, if they can turn those shots to the rim into buckets on the other end, then you're looking at an Iowa State that's very different from what we've seen thus far in the Hoiberg era.
All right, we got to take our first break of the night. When we come back, let's start to look a little bit ahead to the Kansas Jayhawks. Obviously, a big game coming up on Saturday night, College Game Day coming to town. Brent Bloom is down in the Dominican Republic. That's where he's at tonight. But we are here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. I'd rather be in Benchwarmers in Ankeny with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune and Kirk Holland. This is my paradise, gentlemen, talking Cyclone hoops with you guys with a sugar-free Red Bull in hand.
It's tough to beat, and it's almost like 40 degrees out.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it feels like the Dominican.
Yeah, what's the Dominican got on this?
It's like hot outside right now. All right, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on 1460 KXNO.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey Fanatics, this is Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com, and today I want to tell you about my good friends over at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Nebraska Furniture Mart has always been known for their legendary service and, of course, that unrivaled selection. But did you know that the store here in Clive has the largest appliance display in all of Iowa? There's also a huge flooring selection. They've got countertops, window treatments, and don't forget the big one. Every man loves a good television. They have a ton of them at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. So, did you know that Nebraska Furniture Mart also guarantees you that they'll have the lowest price? Oh yeah, they shop around all the major competitors, including Amazon, and they want to ensure that they have the lowest prices in town. So do yourself a favor, check them out. One block south of Hickman on 94th Street in Clive, it's Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
This is Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com on behalf of our good friends at Wilson Toyota of Ames. Now, I own two Toyotas. My co-host on the Cyclone Fanatic Thursday Night Radio Show, Brent Bloom, also owns two Toyotas. And there's a reason. We love these vehicles. So do yourself a favor, Fanatic. If you're in need of a new or even a used vehicle, go see my friend Tron Smith at Wilson Toyota of Ames. It's located up at 2212 South Dove Avenue. Tron, Danny, Denny, the entire crew at Wilson Toyota of Ames will take care of you. That is a promise. Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here on 1460 KXNO. That's where your dial's at right now. Miss our interview with Cornell Mann on the Hy-Vee Hotline. You can go check it out on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. Go to iTunes. Just search Cyclone Fanatic. You should subscribe. I don't even care if you listen. I just want you to subscribe.
Maybe throw in a five-star review just for fun.
Just because. Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune and Kirk Holland in Cyclonepedia is now you can read his work on CycloneFanatic.com. Check his work out there. He even has his own tab with all those fancy statistics. It's good stuff. They fill in for Bloom tonight, who is down in the Dominican Republic. Bloom is a sicko. He's in the Dominican tweeting about officials last night.
About a game he wasn't even watching?
Yeah, he didn't even watch it. He saw the push-off on Vine, and he wanted to make his
presence. Hines, what's your take on the push-off?
I thought it was more Morris's momentum than push-off, and I don't think that's a call you're ever going to get in the last 15 seconds, especially on the road. And it's a tough play, but I don't blame the officials for not blowing the whistle there.
I kind of with you.
I hate that call at any portion of the game, because I always feel like there's actually hardly any advantage gained. I feel like there isn't actually much of a push.
You're using the defender's momentum against
your hand is up. I don't think he actually falls back because of the push. I mean, it was unfortunate if it was a big push-off, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, but before we move on and start talking about the Kansas Jayhawks, I want to give a quick shout-out to my friends over at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Dr. Nicholson, you heard him. He's my doc. He was on the air with us last Thursday night. He joined us here at Benchwarmers, had a good time watching some basketball with him afterwards. But 8 metro locations, there's no excuse to not have your primary care provider. You got to have one, dudes. You got to have one. Eventually you're going to need it. Altoona, Ankeny, Des Moines, Indianola, Johnston, Urbandale, Waukee, West Des Moines. Same day, next day appointments. Pretty much any specialty that you need, the Iowa Clinic Men's Center has it. 185 physicians, that would be. Not positions. I'm in basketball mode right now, but they got 40 different specialties. IAMenCenter.com. Check out their ads all over CycloneFanatic.com. There's one of me in a robe right now on our front page. I look kind of like a douche. To be brutal,
I wasn't gonna say it.
Hey, but you know what? You gotta.
The photographer can only work with what he's given. To be honest,
yeah, this is true. But no, check it out. And then we've got our game chats back this year too. So every Iowa State Conference basketball game, the Iowa Clinic Men's Center is sponsoring our game chats as well. Trav, you were working an angle today with Fred Hoiberg that he didn't want nothing to do with. It's a great angle. It's a go-to. Kansas has won 10 straight Big 12 championships. I always think it's funny. Every offseason, I feel like I have a decent gauge on the fan base, the Iowa State fan base, with what I do. And I feel like Kansas is always kind of tricking people in the offseason. Oh, this is not their year. They don't have it. You and I were having a couple beers watching them play Temple.
Yeah.
Getting throttled a couple weeks ago. And, you know, and maybe they won't win. I don't know, but they're 3-0 right now, and I still think they're the odds-on favorite to win the Big 12.
I think they're the best team in the Big 12. I think they're the most talented team in the Big 12. But I think the gap between them and the rest of the league is as small now as it's been maybe in 5-6 years. I mean, they got really good players. Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander maybe haven't lived up to the hype that they've been. I don't know if either of those guys, they might be lottery picks if they go out this year, especially Oubre, but they're not going to be top three guys. They're not Andrew Wiggins. They're not Joel Embiid.
No, no.
There's a smaller gap between Iowa State, Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas this year than there has been, certainly as long as I've been covering Iowa State. And I think, you know, it's a big opportunity for the rest of the league to finally put an end to this run of 10 years that Kansas has had atop the league.
And I think what's very interesting, not only heading into Saturday, but the rest of the season, I feel like there's – I'm not going to call Iowa State and Kansas a rivalry, because I guarantee if you quiz the folks down at Lawrence, Kansas, they don't call Iowa State a rival. But I do think if you're Iowa State and you can bite them here, then you got two in a row against these guys. And even though you've lost in Allen Fieldhouse, they've been interesting games the last few years where Iowa State's right in there, you know, has every opportunity to win. I feel like if Iowa State can get this one, maybe we're going to start to talk a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting you use the word that they bit them. And to me, you know, a lot of times, you know, Kansas is the big giant, and Iowa State's not a mosquito flying around them that they're just knocking off. Iowa State has upgraded itself to like a horsefly.
they're
buzzing around, and if they bite Kansas, it's going to sting a little bit.
Yeah.
But they've still got some work to do to really bother them. And I think, like you said, it starts with stringing some wins together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a piece I'm writing later this week, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but I was looking back through the record books. Only three times in the last 30 years has Iowa State put a winning streak together against Kansas.
Wow, that's good.
And that's the
good
only stuff. Way that a rivalry will go. And I think if you look across the league, Iowa State, due to geography and culture, and, you know, if Fred stays and they keep this momentum going, they're best positioned to start a meaningful rivalry with the Jayhawks, better than probably anybody in the league, ignoring the in-state rival, Kansas State, that aspect of it. But I think they're just so well positioned for this thing to really grow into a major, major rivalry, not only in the Big 12, but nationally. And we're going to see, you know, this maybe the first seeds of that blooming on Saturday with College Game Day being in town. Because College Game Day isn't in town just because of Iowa State and Fred Hoiberg. They're in town because of Iowa State and Kansas and the rivalry in the games that they've seen over the mm-hmm. last 5 years.
And I don't know if you were down there, Kirk, but that game in Kansas City last year was pretty intense. These games are always intense, but that one, I mean, the Sprint Center, what, 70% Kansas, 60%? But the Iowa State fans, you know, it's a boisterous group. That place, for a neutral court postseason game, that was about as electric of an atmosphere as you can create.
I think, you know, a really interesting thing about this Iowa State team right now is that it's got guys like George Niang and Naz Long and, you know, last year Melvin Edgem that are totally bought into the program. We're winning games against teams like Kansas and teams like Iowa means mm-hmm. something to them.
Yeah.
It means as much to them, you know, guys that grew up thousands of miles away from Iowa, they care about what Iowa State fans care about. And I think that is what's helping these rivalries kind of evolve a little bit here in the recent years.
Kirk, what do you think? Is this a rivalry in your opinion?
No, I think it is for us, but probably not for Kansas. I was actually looking at their message board today, getting really annoyed. But
why?
They were talking about who their rival is, and actually I thought the best answer someone said was the Big 12, which
that's fair.
And I think the most interesting thing about Kansas and their 10 in a row, and that I think everyone understands, but I've understood a lot better the last 2 years, is how they have won all these games with a target on their back. I mean, Coach Mann mentioned it with going down to Baylor, how it's a big game for Iowa State showing from Baylor. Like, that's been the reality for Iowa State since the beginning of last season. Kansas has been doing that for 10 years, where every single venue they go to, they are the game in town. And one of the interesting things about that was last year before the game up in Ames was – it was rowdy. It was tense. I mean, it was one of those games when you walk into before the game starts, you can kind of feel it. It's hot.
Yeah.
And looking at the Kansas players, and this is just total mind reading and body language reading, but they were just relishing in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't one of those deals where they were going to go into that environment and kind of cower. I almost think that they feed off of it, and I'm not going to say makes them play better, but they enjoy the challenge and being tested like that on the road. And I think if a team wants to knock off Kansas, it's kind of going to have to take that role and be able to play with that target on their back.
Don't you see that from my – you go ahead. Do you have a comment on it?
Think of the teams and the players that Kansas has withstood during this run. You look at, you know, the teams that Rick Barnes has put together mm-hmm. at Texas. You know, Oklahoma had a run. You know, Kansas State had, you know, some good players there. I mean, the Beasley, Durant, Aldridge. I think Griffin probably was
Blake
there during
Griffin's
this
there,
run.
Yep.
I mean, these are – you know, all pro NBA guys which if you have one of those on a team at the college level, you've got a chance to win a lot of games. And this 10-year run has withstood these, you know, potential Hall of Fame NBA guys coming through the league.
Yeah, and let's tie this back to Iowa State now, because I completely agree with you guys. You were talking, Kirk, about Kansas's attitude on the road. Travis, this is what I want to pose to you, because you're at every road game. I'm at a select few. I feel like that Iowa State is kind of taking on that mentality too, though, as far as watching Niang and Naz at Iowa this year. I've said this a couple of times, but I felt like even after they won that game, I felt like they were still pissed off. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think they are adopting that kind of mentality that Kirk has talked about.
After the Iowa game especially, those guys had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder still, and I think a lot of that goes to the doubt that people were having with Bryce Dejon Jones getting suspended for that game, where everyone had almost not written Iowa State off, but had said, well, how did they win this game now with what looked to be on paper their biggest mismatch, and they went out there and they rolled. And I think the thing specifically with Niang is that he relishes playing the villain role, mm-hmm. as we've seen on social media, and we saw with the blown kiss to the Iowa student section.
A little bit in West Virginia, too,
and
right?
West Virginia, it's just that he relishes that role. I think it's because he's always been an underdog his whole life, and when he finally is now getting the upper hand consistently, he likes to rub it in a little bit. And to me, as an onlooker, I find that is one of the highest forms of entertainment in sports, is a guy that shows his personality and lets his emotions go. And it's just fun to watch when he's able to do that.
Absolutely love watching Niang do that. And the thing is, like, I could see
I also love Marshall Henderson, too. So you got to take me and my basketball preferences with a grain of salt.
No, but Niang, like, he's such a goofy guy. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, he's a fun-loving, like, there's really not a mean bone in the guy's body. So, like, I could totally see how if you're a West Virginia fan, if you're an Iowa fan, you just hate the guy's guts. But, like, if you're on the other side, I mean, he is a lovable dude for an Iowa State fan.
He's especially personable, and I think when he flips that competitive switch is when that guy goes away a little bit. And when they get up big, he comes back with a little bit of a, not mean-spirited, but certainly a jester-type vibe.
And you see Hoiberg rolling his eyes in the background. What's the saying? Like, behind every good man, there's a woman rolling his eyes. Behind every George Niang, there's Fred Hoiberg rolling his eyes. Were some of the antics there at West Virginia, though? Did he do any of that? Was he playing with the crowd? Because, you know, that crowd was all over him. Did he do anything like that?
Not that I saw. We're way off the court at West Virginia, there could have been a little bit of sniping. I know that he was talking a little bit to the Iowa fans. We got a little bit closer look there, that he was interacting, let's say, with those there's first row seats. You know, that's just his personality, and I think, you know, one of the hallmarks of Iowa State under Fred is that he's assembled some really competitive dudes. And, you know, all these guys at this level, at the high major level, are competitive, but it just seems that Iowa State has had a couple guys where it's in their DNA at maybe a little bit higher level than you see other places.
Was it Niang's first game in Lawrence? Did he get teed up, like, in the first 5 minutes or something?
He got in Jeff Withey's face.
Yes.
You know, potential All-American 7-foot Jeff Withey. He got in his face and I think, like, tripped him walking away from a free throw in Allen Fieldhouse, Iowa State. You know, it's his first career start, I believe, too, because that opened the Big 12 play. The kid is not afraid of much, and he's shown that right from the start.
Oh, man, that was and didn't Withey had a hell of a time with Niang in that game, too, I think.
Niang was the key to that game because he pulled Withey out. I think he hit his
first three shots.
Didn't that cause, like, Rob Doster to write that big article on Hoiberg spreading Kansas out? Now it's all coming back to me.
Iowa State had the perfect game plan. That was one of Hoiberg's masterclass game plans. And it got busted because Kansas had Ben McLemore
banking
a three. And that
the
team
one
had
that got
so
away.
Much talent.
Yeah.
That team had just a crazy amount of talent, and it just wasn't enough. And I think that was has to be so frustrating for Iowa State, where they can outplay Kansas, and then that just, you know, 10% more talent can undo all of that.
Yeah, and you give Iowa State one of those games in Allen Fieldhouse, maybe, you know, the whole rivalry conversation's a little different.
Absolutely. I mean, they worship that place. That's a shrine of Kansas basketball. They literally have their Hall of Fame museum attached to it.
Yeah.
You know, with everything to James Naismith. I mean, that's a shrine to basketball. And if you sully that shrine, you're going a long way to starting a real rivalry.
I look at the museum a little differently, though. Remember when we were there last year, we went to pick up our credentials, and, like, we had to get in, like, the arena. We went into the arena, and there are all these kids outside of the, like, the museum, and they're all, like, in study hall or whatever.
Yeah.
If they even, they're all, like, lounging all over the floor.
It just goes to show you. I mean, even when they're studying, they're in Allen
their worship house.
Yes. I mean, it's a place
it's
of worship.
Yes. All right. Before we take a break, I want to give a shout out to my guy, Glenn Waterhouse, State Farm Insurance. This is true. This is not it is a plug because Glenn is an advertiser of ours, but I swear it's true. My wife and I sat in there with him for an hour and a half yesterday, and we're getting life insurance. We're getting some life insurance for baby Williams, who's on the way. It's going to be epic. And Waterhouse is the guy. He's setting it up for us. GlennWaterhouse.com. Got everything done. Second the baby's born, I make the call. I send Glenn Waterhouse a text. Baby's insured. Glenn Waterhouse, down there on 86th Street. He's got a beautiful office. They got a Keurig. He'll get you some tea. Maybe you want some coffee.
Full
hot,
service.
Hot cocoa. Got everything down there at Glenn Waterhouse. Insurance, 5441 Northwest 86th Street. He is in Suite 100, GlennWaterhouse.com. All right, we got to take a break. We got some five questions coming up, a little more Big 12 conversation right after this on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny on 1460 KXNO.
Maybe you're driving to work. Maybe you're driving home. Or maybe gas prices are driving you crazy. So drive by Hy-Vee and sign up for the Hy-Vee Fuel Saver Rewards Card. Simply shop at Hy-Vee and earn savings on fuel. You could save $2 or more per gallon each week. Hy-Vee Fuel Saver, good at more than 1,200 gas stations across the Midwest, including Hy-Vee Gas, Casey's General Store, and participating Shell stations. Sign up today. Some restrictions apply.
This is Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com on behalf of our good friends at Wilson Toyota of Ames. Now, I own two Toyotas. My co-host on the Cyclone Fanatic Thursday Night Radio Show, Brent Bloom, also owns two Toyotas. And there's a reason. We love these vehicles. So do yourself a favor, Fanatic. If you're in need of a new or even a used vehicle, go see my friend Tron Smith at Wilson Toyota of Ames. It's located up at 2212 South Duff Avenue. Tron, Danny, Denny, the entire crew at Wilson Toyota of Ames will take care of you. That is a promise.
Yeah, we've run into a bit of a snag with your home loan.
What?
Yeah, sorry, but we're going to have to delay your closing for a few days, okay?
Not okay at all. The movers are already here and my home is packed in boxes. Are you kidding me?
Don't let a stressful and delayed closing take the joy out of your next home purchase. At Lincoln Savings Bank, they put their money where their mouth is, providing local approvals and the extensive home loan products that fit your needs. Best of all, the mortgage professionals at LSB are there for you when you need them most. Lincoln Savings Bank is dedicated to providing the service and value you need for your purchase loans. So don't let... ruin your day. Visit one of LSB's convenient locations in Clive, Ankeny, and Adel today, or check out their loan closing guarantee at mylsb.com/guarantee. Lincoln Savings Bank. The right people, the right process. Period. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, Fanatics, this is Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com, and today I want to tell you about my good friends over at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Nebraska Furniture Mart has always been known for their legendary service and, of course, that unrivaled selection, but did you know that the store here in Clive has the largest appliance display in all of Iowa? There's also a huge flooring selection. They've got countertops, window treatments, and don't forget the big one. Every man loves a good television. They have a ton of them at Nebraska Furniture Martin Clive. So, did you know that Nebraska Furniture Mart also guarantees you that they'll have the lowest price? Oh yeah, they shop around all the major competitors, including Amazon, and they want to ensure that they have the lowest prices in town. So do yourself a favor, check them out. One block south of Hickman on 94th Street in Clive, it's Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Thanks, Coach, and welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show here on 1460 KXNO. Big ups to my guy Mark Charter, Mark Charter Real Estate. You can hear him on the Thawcast every Friday. This week it was the Thawcast. As we, old Charter texted me this morning, we had to react to that Baylor game last night. There was a lot to react to, so we recorded this morning. You can go hear him on our latest Cyclone Fanatic podcast. I already told you about it. You go to iTunes, you can search Cyclone Fanatic, you should subscribe, or you can go to our front page. It's on our front page right now. You can't miss it. It's cyclonefanatic.com. Do you have a comment?
How often do you guys actually record the Friday podcast on a Friday? It shows up on my phone like on Tuesdays.
No,
subscriber.
We record it on Friday or Thursday afternoon, right before I come here. Because the whole deal, it's like, you know, we don't want to be too heavy into work on a Friday because you got all the work on Saturday and you know how it goes.
I don't like working any other day of the week. So.
Yeah. So anyways, markcharter.com, that's my guy. If you go to like his reviews, that's the key with the real estate folks. You got to read the reviews, and he's like a, what would like Siskel and Ebert, two thumbs up? Is that like the best for a movie? That's what I'll give Charter.
That's only like a 20-year-old reference.
Yeah. And are they both gone? Are they both?
Yeah, they are. Well, we're really bringing this down.
Well, whatever. That's the best endorsement Charter's ever gotten. I can tell you that right now. Listen to him on the podcast. All right. Time now for five questions. Did you guys know you're going to play five questions tonight?
No, I've been studying all day just in case.
But just brought to you by our friends at Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Okay. What's your read on Kansas State right now, Kirk? They're 3-1. They had a brutal non-con. They didn't play well. Marcus Foster's finally playing some basketball. What's your read on the Wildcats?
I still don't think they're too good. They won at Oklahoma. I didn't really catch most of that game, but after watching some of their game with Texas Tech last night, who I think is completely awful, and they struggled to really pull away from them.
Completely awful.
I think they've turned a little bit of a corner because Foster's playing better. I mean, he's at least not like non-existent. If he's non-existent, then they're terrible. But when he comes to play, I think they're still good. I would worry about winning down there. I think any team can go into Manhattan and lose without surprise. The surprise of them is that they won in Norman. I mean, Norman doesn't have a daunting home court at all, but Oklahoma's still a really good team.
So. Yeah, what's your rebuttal to Kirk? Do you agree with him? What do you think, Travis Hines, Ames Tribune?
I think, and I don't know that there are many more big Marcus Foster fans than me, but even if he is playing like he played in Norman, I don't see a scenario where Kansas State gets better than 7th in the Big 12. I just don't think they're good enough.
That still might get you in.
It might. It'll get you close. But with them, their problem is there's just a crater of a non-conference schedule and results. And we saw it last year with them where they were brutal to start the year and turned it around to a large extent in Big 12 play. But I just don't think the talent is there this year that they had last year to where they can sustain this. Unless Foster's going to average 25, 26, 27 a night, which maybe he can. I don't know.
I mean, outside of Foster and Gibson, who do they have that you even really concern? You don't write a game plan around anyone. He's like a Rico Gathers type concern.
You just have to – Bramwich is brutal.
Yeah. It is. They're on top of you. They are a nasty fan base. Like they're an angry bunch where they will ride players. Like few other places that I've been to.
Well, we'll get to that here momentarily. Okay. That's a hint to one of the questions coming up.
Which I have not seen.
All right, Travis, what's your read on Texas right now?
They're a mess. They're a total mess. But I think we saw this, 2 years ago when Kansas lost 3 in a row, that it's got enough talent, especially in that front court. And Isaiah Taylor, I don't think, is back to where he was pre-injury. You know, if he can get back closer to that, I think they're going to be fine. And you know, I think they're probably out of the conversation for a one seed in the NCAA tournament, but they're going to be a good team, and I think it's going to be tough for them now to win the Big 12, but I'm certainly not ruling them out.
Tells me how much Travis thinks of Texas, and I'm not even being sarcastic, the fact that you even mentioned one seed in that little monologue you just did on Texas, that obviously he thinks highly of them. What do you think, Kirk?
Well, I don't think they're completely out of the Big 12 race, but I think they're strongly flirting with them. I mean, they're one bad, not bad loss, but loss that they can't take away from from falling out of contention. I never trust Rick Barnes a lot. He always brings in a ton of talent, and they usually tend to underperform. I mean, he couldn't win a whole lot of games with Kevin Durant, so that kind of tells you something. I'm sure that I still think they're a top four team. I would put them right now behind Iowa State, Kansas, and Oklahoma. But, yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in them, but I still think they're a top four team.
And right now West Virginia is playing better than them. I think Texas is probably the better team, but, you know, right now they're playing at best, fifth best in the league.
I like West Virginia a lot. I started off the season really questioning them, and, man, I'm completely bought into that.
I meant to tweet at you on Saturday when West Virginia looked like they might win that game that you had put my guy Huggy on the hot seat this summer.
I was serious about it.
I know you were.
I'm completely in on West Virginia.
He's got a group that I think is the closest he's had to the groups that he had in Cincinnati in terms of a toughness factor and, you know, that guard and the way that they do. And I think that goes a long way. He hasn't had the teams as they've transitioned into the Big 12 that I think are conducive for him winning the way that he knows how to coach and the way that he's proven something like 700 wins in his career. The guy can coach.
I'm really interested to see how they do on the road against an actual team, Texas Tech or TCU.
TCU's not an actual team?
No.
They're just five guys showing up.
Playing at a high school gym, apparently.
I like TCU. I'm a big fan. All right, Capital Orthopedics, doesn't matter if you're a high school athlete, college, pro, you're going to get hurt every once in a while. 9 board-certified physicians, 12 outreach clinics, Capital Orthopedics Sports Medicine will get you the personalized care that you deserve. Give them a call today at 515-440-2676 or visit it on the web at dsmcapitalortho.com. We're playing 5 questions with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune and Kirk Holland. Hilton Coliseum or Lawrence, Kansas, the Fog, you got to take them both out. What do you think? Travis is probably more of the expert here, but the toughest Big 12 arena to play in. Travis?
I think if West Virginia filled their gym consistently, they might have a case, but that has not been the way it's gone since they've joined the Big 12. I think when they had it rolling in the Big East, they were filling that gym, but they're not right now. So I'd have to give the nod pretty convincingly to Kansas State. You get to those southern teams, and there's just not the fan support on a consistent basis. I know Gallagher-Iba used to be one of the toughest places in the conference to play, and the two times I have been there, it's been a mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And last year was Eddie Sutton Day, and they couldn't even sell half their tickets. It was
They were good.
They were fantastic. I mean, that was before they had kind of imploded last year with those guys, you know, where you had a potential National Player of the Year and Marcus Smart at that time. So I think it's Bramlage fairly easily, and I think if West Virginia starts filling that gym again, that can be a really tough place to play.
Kirk, you got anything to add to that?
No, I mean, he's the expert. He's been to all these, but I think Bramlage is head and tails ahead of them. And then West Virginia has potential, and Oklahoma State 10 years ago, it was Ames, Lawrence, and Stillwater, and Stillwater's just falling off the map. I guess blame Oklahoma City Thunder, right?
To me, what makes West Virginia difficult now is the style of ball they're playing. Even if there are not that many people, they're nasty.
Yeah, and it's kind of a funky setup, too. It's just this huge, sprawling dome almost. You know, it's similar to Hilton in almost its setup, but it has a larger ceiling, and it just gets loud in there. I think they've got that old Big East style of cheering, and by that I mean booing loudly. You know, they get after guys. It's that old, you know, the Georgetowns and the Syracuse back when that was the rough and tumble league, and they were, you know, right there in it, going to a Final Four in 2010.
I always feel like programs develop, like the fan bases develop the mentality of the coach, like Bill Finley and the Iowa State women's crowd. Like, have you ever heard a crowd yell at refs more? I love it. I love going to women's games because they're just such an intense group, and I feel like West Virginia has really adopted that Huggins model.
Back when Kevin Pitsnoggle was there, I remember that's a blast from the past, isn't it? Their student section drew some serious heat for the things that they were doing to opposing teams, so much so where, like, the president and the AD and the conference commissioner, I believe, had to get involved. Things were just the line was here and they were going about 10 miles past it.
Oh, man.
So it was past bum of the game stuff.
Oh, well, well past that.
Bum
I think
of the
that's
game
a great
is
thing.
Rated G.
Yeah, that, I like how they do that.
I have no problem with
some,
it.
Some coordination in the student section is never a bad thing, and it keeps things a little bit fresh, I think, when they individualize things for players.
All right, final question. We got 20 seconds and we're off the air. Who spends more time on KenPom, Kirk Holland or Travis Hines?
Me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kirk. You know, I logged some serious time on there, but I don't know that I can compete with Kirk on that one.
Guys, thanks for filling in for Bloom. It was fun.
Thank you.
Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune, Kirk Holland in Cyclonepedia. You can read his work at cyclonefanatic.com. We're back next week from 6 to 7. Have a good evening, Central Iowa.